Alan Gring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2016. Lecture 18, delivered on October 27, 2016. The title of this lecture is Investment Decisions in Practice.
Tonight, Investment Decision Making in Practice. As I sort of said this in the first round of this subject, that the net present value method is theoretically sounder, but the internal rate of return method is more popular. It's largely because with the net present value method, you have to have a discount rate to put in to figure out the net present value. In order to do that, you have to get a discount rate by one method or another, and the one that is the strongest that you use is, as I said, the capital asset pricing model. The discount rate you use for a project will be the risk-free rate plus the beta of the project times the expected return to the market portfolio minus the risk-free rate. Now, you have to get all this data, and then you can possibly find yourself the discount rate for a project that you can then key in to discount your cash flows back to the present. That's how you do net present value. So a lot of companies wouldn't want to do that. They would want to use a method that essentially it spits out a number, and then you can say, well, I like that number, or I don't like that number. As I said, though, the problem with the internal rate of return method, well, there are a couple of problems with it, but one of the big problems is if your cash flow switches sign during the project more than once. So in other words, if you have a project that has an initial cash outflow, that would be negative. Then it has a couple of years of positive cash flows, but then you got to put more money into the project to boost it up or to keep it going or whatever. It goes negative, and then later it goes positive again. Your internal rate of return method begins to fail because essentially the internal rate of return profile looks like that. So there's more than one internal rate of return. Interestingly enough, I think the book and a few problems even in the review, in the quiz and the test, try to trick you by saying, well, if you had an internal rate of return profile like this, and you found out that what you wanted, your cost of capital, was somewhere right like here, well, you would go with the project, right? No, internal rate of return doesn't have any meaning. It is just an invalid method if there is more than one switch in the sign of the cash flow. But there's this thing, internal rate of return is so popular that a twist on the method was developed years ago that made it so that you could have more than one switch in the sign of the cash flows and still have the internal rate of return method work for you. And it's called the modified internal rate of return method, the MIRR. Suppose that you had a project, and I wrote down some numbers. I hope these work out pretty well. Okay, here's your cash flow profile. Year, cash flow. Okay, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, what I'm showing you is the MIRR, the modified internal rate of return, the MIRR. Say that the project starts off with $4,000 that you have to spend. And at year one, you're going to pull in $1,000. And year two, you'll get revenue or free cash flow. Revenue, free cash flow of $2,500. But then you've got to, at year three, put in another $3,000. Your cash flow turns negative again. And then years four and five, you're back in positive cash flow territory. This is not unrealistic. I should point out to you that I grabbed these numbers. They're not the same, but the time profile is similar to what happened with my company, my own art landscape art company. Was at first I threw in heavy money for the equipment, a camera, and a printer. And then I was able, free cash flow, I was able to eke out $1,000 and $2,500. At that point, I thought, well, I'm going to make it. There's a market for what I'm doing. So that's when I went with much stronger, higher-end glass, in other words, a lens, and a better printer, and my free cash flow went negative. I was still selling. I was making money, but I also was spending money, so there was that negative, it came out negative on free cash flow. And from there, I've been climbing out of the pit ever since. And this was like the first 5 years of the operation. Now, these weren't the real numbers, but it gives you an idea that it, and I can tell you, this is actually fairly real. The problem is that the internal rate of return method would fail on this. There is no, the cash flow switches sign, negative to positive, negative to positive. So the sign switch is not just once. The sign switch is once here, twice, and then three times. Three sign switches. Bad news. Internal rate of return fails. But like I said, a twist was done on the method so that it would work. And here's how it is. And it looks kind of like, if it looks kind of dodgy to you, fishy, you're right, it is, but it is used quite a bit. Here's how it goes. What you're going to do is take the negative cash flows and find the present value of those. So in other words, for the negative cash flows, it would be the negative 4,000 plus negative 3,000 times 1 plus, now you need a discount rate to take it back to the present. The discount rate you use is the company's cost of capital. Cost of capital for this company will put it at 8.4%. So it'll be times 1 plus 0.084 to the negative 1, 2, 3 period. To find the present value of the negative cash flows. Okay? So that's all you have to do. It's just find them. I mean, it's not that hard to do. I would do this on a scientific calculator. I mean, the financial calculators just drive me crazy when they try to do this. So if we do that, and of course, I forgot to turn on the projector. All righty then. We'll wait here for a minute. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take... Matter of fact, let me get the financial let me get a nice little scientific calculator up here. Did that even turn on when I did that? Yeah, it turned on. It's just struggling. Okay. Okay. And eventually it will come on here. What I'll do is I'll take $4,000 negative. 4,000, and it'll come up here, pause neg, and then I'll say plus, 3,000, pause neg, times 1.084 to the negative third power. And if I add those up, I'll get $6,355.23. Negative 63, what is it? 5523. Okay. So that's the present value of the negative cash flows that are going to come out. Now comes the next step, where you take the positive cash flows and you find the future value of those at the terminus of the project. Wait, what? Yeah. You take the 1,000, all of these, the 1,000, you take it forward 1, 2, 3, 4 periods. The 2,500 forward 3 periods. The 2,000 forward 1 period, and then the $1,800. So in other words, what I would do here is I would say 1,000 times 1.084 to the 1, 2, 3, 4 period, fourth power, plus 2,500 rather, times 1.084 to the third power, plus 2,000 times 1.084 to the first power plus the $1,800. And that would give me the future value of the positive cash flows. Now I'm going to try to run this, and if you see me make a mistake, just say stop. Okay, so I'll do 1,000 times 1.084 to the fourth power plus 2,500 times 1.084 to the third power plus 2,000 times 1.084, and really to the first power, that's just, you know, plus the $1,800 equals 85,33.16. Positive 85,33.16. Okay, so now what we have done is essentially we have remodeled the cash flows so that there is one negative cash flow initially and then one positive cash flow out at the end of the project. So again, we have remodeled the cash flows, which is really, it's dodgy as all heck, but this is how MIRR, there, by the way, there are a couple of variations on the MIRR. I think the book shows you a couple, but I don't know. Okay, so now we're going to do this on the financial calculator to find the internal rate of return. Reset cash flow. The initial cash flow is 6355.23, 6355.23, Now, there is no cash flow, zero, for four periods. You've zeroed out the cash flow. Make sure you see that. I have zero cash flow in this remodeling in periods 1, 2, 3, and 4. So there are four zero cash flows. Four, enter. Now down. And then finally, at the end, we have the positive cash flow, 85,33.16. Enter one period. Now we compute the internal rate of return. And this is the MIRR, the modified internal rate of return. Compute. And we get The modified internal rate of return, MIRR, is 6.07%. Now, the question, are those really Kit Kats? Oh, you are the man. I might even give you a point for that. Yeah. Who needs love? You know, where the hell was it? Okay, look. Okay, now. Ma'am, do I accept or reject the project? What do you see? I know, all right? Okay. What was my cost of capital? What did I return on it? So what, do you want to change your answer? Yeah, that's exactly right. You say no to this project. You see your cost of capital there? I started this whole project off with a cost of capital of 8.4%, and this project made me do all that stupid numerical work to find out that it would deliver only a 6.07% return on my investment. No, 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 this one's gone. The MIRR, like I said, I mean, once you get the hang of it, it's not that hard to do. It's just kind of like, it just seems kind of weird. Remodeling cash flows this way is kind of suspicious to begin with. Let me show you something. You, madam. That is so good. White chocolate. I make a white chocolate raspberry truffle cheesecake to die for. I'm thinking maybe some of these on top just to add a little bit of extra excitement. Anyway, I can use you. I got a couple of projects on the that are coming up, and you would have to be in any project that I've got coming up. Both of these projects are incredibly demanding. What that means is that I cannot take both projects because I would have to have you for whichever one I chose. This brings us to an idea of the concept of what is called the mutually exclusive. Projects. The deal is this. Financial theory and practice says you take on any project that is a positive NPV. You should always take on positive NPV projects. Because if it truly is positive NPV, that means that you've already found that it covers cost of capital. So your cost of capital is going to get worse as you take on projects because the bank's going to start, lenders, stock investors are going to start getting bitchy at you if you start using too much money, borrowing too much or doing too many offerings of stock. So your cost of capital is going to be going up. In other words, the marginal cost of capital does go up. So it's not as if there are an infinite number of projects that you can take on. But if it's a positive net present value project, then you've already taken into account the cost of capital is going up and it's still worked, you take on the project. But there are some times when you can't do two projects. They are mutually exclusive because of some unique factor of production. Either someone who would be in either of both of the projects, or maybe you've got a piece of land. You can't do two things on it. You could either have a distribution center on it or a retail facility or a factory, but you can't have all three at once. So there would be that mutual exclusivity there too. So how would you proceed in a situation like that? You got two projects. They are both very strong, but you can't do them both. Project one. Project two. And you got the NPV. Project one has an NPV of 78.46. Project 2 has an NPV of 65-70. You should take them both, but if they are mutually exclusive, you can have only one. So you would obviously take the one with the higher net present value. However, I thought when I first learned this many years ago in grad school that IRRs and NPVs would always follow each other. But I was told, no, there are some unusual circumstances where they don't. The internal rate of return of Project 1 is 16.85%. The internal rate of return of Project 2 is 18.21%. I thought, well, this can't possibly happen in the real world. I'll be darned if one of the first consulting projects I ever did, mutual exclusives, the NP, this was the profile. They were both positive, NPV, both strong internal rate of return, but the NPV of Project 1 was higher than the NPV of Project 2, but the internal rate of return gave exactly the opposite results for them. Now, if this ever happens, then by theory, you should go with the NPV result. Realistically, as I found out when I got my butt kicked a couple of times for recommending the NPV in this kind of a odd situation, which actually turned out to be a little less odd than I thought it would be, the IRR was the one that was, I was told, this is how we're going to do it with the internal rate of return. And I couldn't stand it. I said, why are you going with a method that is already slightly more suspicious anyway, and you're rejecting the NPV approach? The best reasoning I was given was that the internal rate of return tells us that this project two, is going to be a winner to a higher level of discount rates than Project 1. So in other words, if the interest rate environment begins to go up, so you're starting to have to discount your cash flows at higher and higher rates, then Project 2 would survive and be still a winner longer than Project 1 would in a rising interest rate environment. How sound is that logic? I can't tell you. It still seems dodgy to me, but at the same time, if you run into this ever in practice, you're going to see that the internal rate of return is always going to be the winner. Hell, if they're going to twist around IRR so that you can do modified internal rates of return when you're never supposed to be doing internal rates of return to begin with because of multiple cash flow switches, then internal rate of return is probably going to be the love child of the company, even though NPV is, by all reasoning, the stronger of the two methods. Last thing that I want to bring up here. You have a project, and you've done traditional net present value approach to it. And you found out, let's say that you did your analysis of the project, and the NPV, you put in, let's say, a discount rate for the interest/yield thing up there. You put it in the calculator. You discounted at, let's say, 7.6%, okay? You came out with a positive NPV, let's say $835. Now, where we are now in the economy is we know interest rates are going to start going up. We know it. We don't know when. The Fed is sort of like dancing around, barking at it, not doing it yet. But sooner or later, interest rates are going to start going up. Your call. Should I, once interest rates go up, should I recalculate the K and analyze the project again? We went with it. It's been a year, 2 years ago, and we said yes. Now we have an interest rate environment where the interest rates are going up. If I recalculated it, I told you, don't you dare recalculate anything without my permission. But you're such a devious bastard, you went ahead and did it anyway. And then you told my boss, sir, yeah, fat boy over there said that I wasn't supposed to do it, but I went and calculated again, and I found that now the K is 8.9%. And I went back and redid his calculations with this new one, and I found out that the new NPV of the project is -$612. So we should abandon this project. We should drop this project now. What do you say? Should I or shouldn't I abandon the project? Remember, I did the initial calculations. I gave the go with using a discount rate of 7.6% a couple of years ago. Project is underway. Now we go back and we recalculate from the beginning the project, and we find that it's a negative net present value project now. Should we abandon the project, up or down? Should we say no? Should we always be going back and analyzing what we've already done? What do you say? Expense I already put in is a sunk cost. So in other words, what matters now is what's going to happen going forward from this point in time. So on one hand, the argument is that we should drop the project because it has turned into a negative net present value project. There's an argument the other way. Is there what's the argument the other way for saying absolutely not? Go.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, you already got your ace. Let's quit. Quit. Yes, go ahead. Well, it was. Let's say that it was unexpected. That's a problem, because on the one hand, we should not look at the past. Well, we've already started this project. We're already underway. We can't quit now. But the argument the other way is that we already did this calculation. We already brought the project online. Basically, because it's a sunk cost, the money we put into it now, whatever happens from here is money coming in. Unless we got money going out sometime down the road and then we recalculate. But because at this point, I've already put in the initial cash flow. That was 2 years ago. I've already had a year of positive cash flow. So what I'm looking at, essentially, at this point in the ballgame, is just gravy coming in. That money that I spent is gone forever. It really doesn't even enter the calculation now. So all I'm looking at is a cash flow pattern that's positive as far as the eye can see. It's sort of like you. When I was first deciding about a project, I decided I'm going to have a son, and you're my son. Okay? It worked out, you know, and after a couple of years, I recalculated. I thought, my God, this boy is expensive as hell. Diapers, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And the food, he eats like a horse, for God's sake. And I'm beginning to realize, I've got to recalculate this because interest rates are higher now. Yep, looks like I better get rid of this young man. I would say of trading him in, or, you know, maybe selling him, as an apprentice for a newer model. This one guy offered me a Harley for you. You know, that was really hard to turn down because, I mean, it was a really nice one. Never been outside. Okay, the thing, though, is that at this point, I've already spent the money on that terrible first couple of years with all the diapers, all the formula. Now I don't have to worry about anything until your teen years when you're, you know, I have to bail you out of jail for making trouble and things like that. So you see, the thing is that you can't look back. So once you've started a project, the only thing you can do is look forward. If there are negative cash flows that I'm going to have to incur on this project down the road, then I can put those in with a higher discount rate and do a recalculation. Should I put the new money into the project or not? But for the most part, give it up. Where do things like this come in the real world? Does anyone know a company called Samsung? Yeah, Samsung. Okay, now, they had a one of their phones called a Note 7 had a small problem with it. Essentially, now, if you put it in your pocket, it was going to change your life, especially if you were a guy. The thing was that it was exploding. Samsung made an interesting decision internally. Their finance people said, drop the phone. Drop it. Get rid of it. Because no matter what you do from here, we can't recover. It's a negative net present value project. You know, redesigning the assembly line, redoing the schematics, getting a new manufacturer, hiring consultants. That was a high cost. Samsung, from what I've heard internally, at the top levels, someone said, we've already put a lot of money into this new Note 7. We can't quit now. And that was a disaster. They should have recalculated looking forward. How much is our new part going to cost? How much is this going to cost from here on out? And also at a slightly higher interest rate, because now they're in a higher risk situation with this design technology that they were trying to use. So they didn't do that. All they did was say, we've already gone this far, let's just keep going. Well, we've already gotten to the throat of this ginormous shark, so let's just keep going and see where it takes us. Well, you know where it takes you when you go into the throat and you just keep going into a shark? You come out the other end, shark poop. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put up the exam, the quiz for you, and then you finish that, and then you can get out of here for the night.